John's with us right now. John, tell me the Tinakwe, John, thanks for joining us today.
You're back.
Kia ora, mate. Look, we know that, as you've touched on many times before, that the rich in New Zealand have got a pretty free ride, and we're seeing now some sort of advancing of alternate models of taxation and tax credits. The Greens delved into this area over the weekend, but you've been saying for a long time that some people are just able to make dosh without doing anything, and multiple houses, etc. The Māori Party have been pushing for a change in our tax regime for some time. Explain why it's important that those who have the reins of power are more bold and try a different model.
Oh, well, we're pleased that the Greens are following the Māori Party, because that's just a matter of fact. In 2020, we brought out the most comprehensive taxation regime in terms of ensuring the design of tax was fair. See, we've got no problem with people working hard, productively, smart, and making money. Our biggest problem is when too few, in the name of too many, design the tax system and then take all the loot out of it, and then socialise all of the problems of society to the Morihu. So all of us have to pay for their largesse. Now, a tax system that is designed solely out of the Roger Nomics period, that has not changed substantially since, is wrong. The 2% of people that control 50% of this nation's wealth got there in the last 35 years. And as I've said on this program before, they got there by being close to certain politicians who gave them the right regulation and the right taxation design. And now that's got to stop. We're so far out of whack with all OECD countries. I think we're in the 1% that still have a type of tax regime that rewards the top end of town and that creates the level of inequality that we've got in our country.
John, I note that a few Bay of Plenty health providers, Māori, are very anxious about the rhetoric coming out of Shane Vitti and the Nats that they're going to scrap Taka Whai Order. I mean, we haven't even really been able to get a start. We're not even into second gear yet. It must be very destabilising for an organisation trying to chart a way forward when, you know, one of the parties that could take the reins of power has already said Yagonski's. How debilitating is it for them and their operational matters, and also for their planning, with that sort of corridor looming in the wings?
National Act and New Zealand First has said, it's Yagonski. They all say, no, we should be making policy on needs rather than on race. I'm not interested in needs or race. I'm interested in our right of entitlement as a partner under the Treaty of Waitangi, where you promise to treat us equally. And treating us equally is in regard to Article 2, where we have the right to self-manage. I don't need a pākehā to take my money, spend it for me, fail me, and then tell me I'm the failure. So we've got to stop that. The second thing I'd make about Taka Whai Ora is it has been destabilised from day one. You have the racists that have previously run the Ministry of Health that wouldn't give us our data, that underfund us even today 10 to 15 percentage points below what they'll fund pākehā providers. People call this systemic racism. It's not systemic. It's racist running a system. Okay, the Ministry of Health has never been racist to me. The people that drive it are. The people that are MSD that are racist drive it are. There's no such thing as systemic racism. So when you look at Taka Whai Ora, it's never been given a chance. It's been stabilised. Its board has been attacked on questions in the House, written questions, OIAs. No Māori of any substance can sustain a board position, okay, if they've led a consulting life, a contracting life, a director's life. If you're a pākehā, that's seen as a model of outstanding capacity to reward you a board position. In Māori, you are alleged to be in conflict, corrupt, unworthy, and because you bit your whanaungatanga, oh, well, we don't practice nepotism. So there's a dual world standard here in terms of the way there's not one law for all. There's a perverse law for Māori, and there's a gilded lily law for the Pākehā. We have to stop accepting that nonsense and normalising it, because in normalising it, as we have the tax system, we believe that we are unworthy of home ownership, that that we are unworthy of a reasonable salary and wage, where two-thirds of our people are earning under $50,000 a year. So the day we normalise these things without calling them out is the day you start to accept them. So that's why we've got nowhere else to go but be political, and we are creatures of politics, and that's why I'm in Te Pāti Māori. So change is coming, and it won't come unless we name and shame these racists that continue to divide and rule the country. I'm not race-based. I'm rights-based. I have a treaty. You're a partner, and you're here, not by conquest, but by consent. And that is a totally different relationship, and one that is about time they started to practice.
You've been in politics a long time. I refer back to Hager's book there back in the day, The Hollow Men, which talked of Crosby Textor and the rise of Don Brash by using the race card at Orewa, and all of a sudden his polling is boosted. We're constantly hearing anti-Māori rhetoric in the political landscape at the moment. We'll scrap Taka Whai Order. We will ban bilingual signage. It seems as though race has become a very important topic as we build up to October's election. Is it as sinister as it seems? Should we be conscious and speak about this more widely, how our people are being used as some sort of political tool to streamline the chances of getting into political power? Is it as sinister as it was back in 05?
Well, let's unpack this a bit. Racism is a product of colonisation. It's not a product of we woke up one day as Māoris and started being racist to one another. Somebody with white skin arrived here, believed that they were superior to all other species on this earth, hunted down the elephants and the rhinos and the crocodiles, enslaved the blacks, etc., etc. And they love killing things. You know, have a look at the mosque. I mean, the problem we have is the people that consider that they are superior have led to global warming, have led to inequality in the global terms that we've never, ever understood before. Now, we can lay that off all on their race. But see, we start to go around in a never-ending carousel, and we can't get off that if we continue down that track. Because of my indigeneity, I have rights. Not because of my race, but because I'm an Indigenous man. And the day they get their head around that, the better. Because it's not about race, it's about rights. We must always take the moral high ground and the ethical high ground all the time and push back against imported politics. Okay? Like what you see with a Seymour is Trump on steroids in New Zealand terms, Aotearoa terms. He's going to get rid of TPK. He's going to get rid of the Women's Affairs. He's going to get rid of Taka Whai Ora. He's going to get rid of, you name it, anything. There's anything Māori do it. He's going to rewrite the Treaty of Waitangi, for goodness sakes. So this appeals to a big bunch of non-Māori white folk. It's regretful, but the beauty about it is you can put a circle around it, and guess what? Around 88% of other Kiwis do not agree with that. So you can go into a room, and there'll be nine Kiwis sitting there that disagree with Mr. Seymour, but he polls around 10 to 12%. So there's a constituency for him. And that's the regretful, sad, sorry state of this country when you're walking down the street and one in nine Kiwis hate your guts because you're a Māori.
Look, we're hearing kōrero of this nature calling out the race card from Te Pāti Māori. Maybe the Greens are touching on it. There's a chance that the three of you, including Labor, might be able to form a government, but I'm not hearing the anti-racist card rhetoric from the Labor Party as much as we're hearing it from the Greens and from Te Pāti Māori. surely it's time that Hipkins and his crew also called out this racist stance that we're hearing. We're going to scrap Takawhai Order, etc., etc. Why are they being relatively quiet in this space?
Well, that's something you have to ask Willie Jackson and his colleagues. The problem that you've got in the Labor Party is that it has to pitch for middle New Zealand vote, which is non Māori. And to do that, it's got to be toe on things like what Luxon and Seymour and Peters are up to in terms of dog whistle politics. In the Māori Party, we are overtly liberated. We don't care what they think. We don't care what they say. We care about our rights, and we care about promoting, asserting, and moving them forward. We don't run over the top of other people's rights. We don't steal other people's property. Yeah. When's the last time you saw us steal their property? They'll say, "Oh, yeah, but you're all criminals." Yeah, but when you have put us into poverty over five generations, and poverty breeds all adverse things, there's only one people that's going to fix that. That's us, and not your criminal justice system, etc., etc. So wherever we go for solutions, they block us, and would rather lock us up rather than allow us to handle our own opportunities to raise above all these things. But we don't go stealing their land. We don't go stealing their water. We don't go stealing all the rest of the assets upon which the wealth of this nation is based. So we just need to ensure that the Party Māori has a good run here. And you know what? There's a sniff out there. And it's happening because we can see that the Labour Party Māori people are good people. But we're not campaigning against Willie and Benny and Calvin and all of the rest of them. We're campaigning against the leaders that suppress and throttle them. Because we're not. You see, when you're free and liberated, you can be unapologetic. But why should we apologise for speaking the truth in our own country?
I'm talking in a moment with Susan St. John, who you'll know from Child Poverty yep. Action Group. And that's to do with the Greens announcement. You head a social service provider. What would you say of the priorities in this space? And just a bit of an update on Waipiraita's mahi for the week or two ahead, please, John.
Yeah, Poverty Action Group goes silent on Māori-related matters. So you should ask her why that is. When we raise issues of tax on the wealth, there's silence from non-Māori NGOs, just silence. Now, they have to start acknowledging that we exist too and that we don't need them to advocate for us as well. They should advocate for us the other way around, right? I'm not a lackey of anybody else's NGO. So I want to make that point very clear to the academics and everybody else that want to pile into the left-hand side of the debate. We're not left and we're not right. We just want to achieve what's good for Aotearoa Nui Tonu. So that's point one. Point two, Waipiraita, we're changing our operational model, as you know, driving more services out into the communities by being far more mobile. Our clinics are out there and pop-ups and in our drive-bys. And we're providing care to mothers and children between 8 and 10, and between 2 and 4. And then on the big nights out here, we're there between 4 and 8. And these are hours that best fit the people that deserve our service, because it's not about us as a provider of a service. It's not about a doctor in their practice or the pharmacist in their practice. It's got to be about the people you serve. So we've got to be more people-focused as opposed to practice or pharmacist or doctor-focused, and can't all be about them, surely. But, I mean, we're paying good money to achieve good health care, and we should be devolving it into the community. So we're trialling that this year.
Tēnā koe. That's an interesting one. I like the fact that 4 to 8, because often the the health hours just don't fit people. Either they're at work or the kids are at school. Any updates on your team who went up to the Philippines to access some more nursing or medical staff for Waipiraita, John?
Yeah, we're working our way through that in terms of onboarding the first 35. what you have to understand is the state, our partner, the government, has voted millions of dollars to ensure that this occurs. We never get cut into anything. So what we've got to do is spend our hard-earned money, fly up, sort out relationships, test the integrity, credibility, and due diligence of it, and then do our own thing. Otherwise, we'll always be last in the queue. Such is the nature of those that spend our money for us and fail us. And so we want our money, and we're now in talks with Taka Whaiora and Whatawhare. Whatawhare's got all the money. Taka Whaiora's nothing. It's got about, it's still within the under 2% of the total fund going to health. So Whatawhare and MOH have still got all the money. So if anything's failed over the last year of trying to stand up Taka Whaiora, it isn't Taka Whaiora, I can assure you.
Tēnā koe, John. Thanks for sharing some time with us, Ngami. It's 26 past 8. You're at 6:03.